Well, thank you, Tiffany. What a great job she did, and what a great message. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, heaven's going to have some wonderful singing, but we have some pretty good stuff down here to just kind of help us along till we get there. Amen. Amen. I want you to open your Bible to the first book in the New Testament, book of Matthew. Familiar chapter. We're going to chapter 24. A lot of preaching on Matthew 24, and certainly as the times have moved upon us, you see what's going on today, it's very pertinent. And I was in a business uptown this week, and a Christian man there that was, I was paying my bill, and he said, "Preacher, are we in the days of Noah?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I think so." And just that statement stayed with me for several days, and so I'm going to preach on the days of Noah this morning. Amen. In Matthew chapter 24. And hope you'll open there, and I can't cover all the verses, of course. Going to start maybe in about verse 29. Read down through about, verse 37 or 8. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer's nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for such hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh." The church building I got saved in, right over the baptistry, right behind the pulpit, had this verse printed on the wall. I come and heard the gospel several times before I got saved, and that verse was always staring at me. "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such hours ye think not the Son of Man cometh." You know, the world may be in a little more danger than they think today, and especially lost people that aren't prepared, they really ought to be taking notice of what's going on and understand a little bit about it. Sometime you'd be in more danger than you think. I think about the preacher that went home with the family to eat with them the first time. And by the way, if you've never been a preacher and had that experience, sometimes it's not all pleasant. Many times it is, but sometimes it isn't. And there in the country, he went home after church to eat with the folks. And as he was sitting at the table, the old dog was laying over there in the corner. And every time he'd kind of look at the dog, he'd see the dog was staring at him, and the dog would growl just a little bit at him. He'd look again, and the dog would growl a little bit. Finally, he said to the man of the house, he said, "Well," he said, "that dog acts like he's mad at me." And the fellow said, "Oh, it's all right. You just happen to be eating out of his dish." Sometimes you might be closer to trouble than you think. Amen. And not only that, but today, and you look in the news, you may be closer to trouble than you think. Unless you know the Lord, and I hope you do. But when we think about reading a portion of Scripture like I just read, folks, that is a warning. And it tells you God loves you, that He'd warn you to be ready. Amen. Such hours you think not. The world is doing a lot of funny things today, no doubt about it. Looking at the context of it, of the chapter though, right here, you'd have to look in verse 1 of chapter 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, and it's in this setting, they come to him and they ask him the question that you'll find asked in the chapter right here. And that question is what time are you coming? Look at it in chapter 24 again in verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Now, you know, there's something born in the heart of man to want that question answered. Even a lost man, a long time before I was saved, and I heard other lost men on the job and so forth talk. Once in a while, the subject of the end of the world would come up. Once in a while, that would get into the discussion. And of course, most of us would say, oh, we don't believe that. So, but we did. That's why we were talking about it. It's down deep in the very soul of man. Now, I'm looking here and seeing that Jesus warns about it. I didn't read this verse, but look at it. Verse 24 of chapter 24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Now, the elect is a Jewish nation. And the Jewish nation has got a deception yet coming they're going to accept. You read about it in John chapter 5, verse 43, where Jesus was talking to them. See, they rejected him as the Messiah, as the Son of God. He came unto his own, the Jews, and they received him not, John chapter 1. But he said to them in John chapter 5, verse 43, he said, I've come to you in my Father's name, and you rejected or you refused me, or you believe not, but another will come in his own name. And him you will accept, and that's the Antichrist that will come and deceive the Jews. And boy, we're right on that verge of that thing today as we look around. And he's saying the Jews will be fooled, and fooled for a little while. I look around today and I see how it will be and how it is even today in this setting that Jesus is talking about. And he tells us about it. You want to see how it will be? Look at verse 30 here that we read a while ago. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn. You know what it would be like today if we walked out of this building and we saw the sign of the Son of Man in heaven coming? The Bible says the tribes of the earth, that's everybody, will mourn. Now, you and I as believers believe we're going to be caught out of here before he comes, because they're going to mourn because he's coming back in judgment. He's coming back to take his kingdom over. He's coming back to set up his throne. He's coming back to put down the United Nations of the world that will be united against him, and it says they'll mourn. Do you understand today that a lot of folks that aren't right with God, even some that are saved, if they could see that, they would mourn, because they keep putting off getting right with God. They don't want to see him yet. They don't want to hear from him yet. That's the whole thing today. And that's the way it will be. Now, the setting here, when he shows up in the heavens, will be the glorious return. It'll be when he's coming back at the end of the trip, in time to save the Jews that have been deceived and almost annihilated by the Antichrist and his armies. And Jesus will come back in judgment upon them. It's detailed in the book of Revelation chapter 19. You know that if you know your Bible. But this is the glorious return that he's talking about. Luke 17 says it'll be like lightning flashing from one side of the world to the other. Now, you know, have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen lightning just look like it crossed the whole horizon? Sure we have. But in that day, the coming of the Lord is going to be like that. I'm talking about when he comes back in his glory. Today, for instance, it'll get on TV. If they find a light in the sky they cannot identify, they'll call it a UFO or something else. And it don't take much. A comet can appear or something else. What about when Jesus appears and wants to be seen as lightning from across the horizon, around the world? And folks say today, well, how can the whole world see? Well, now we know, satellite TV. Of course, the Lord could do it without satellite TV. I understand that. But we in a day and time when nothing can happen anywhere in the world but what? You can get it on your TV in your living room. It may take a few hours, but it'll get there. It'll get there. And we're in that time. And when he comes, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, every eye will see him. That's the glorious return. Every eye, every live, living person on earth at that time will see him coming when he's coming back in his glory, coming back in judgment, coming back to rule this old world like he has promised that he would. You know, some things had to happen. He was talking to the disciples here. Some things had to happen before he was going to return in his glory. He was going to be rejected. They were going to say, away with him, crucify him. We'll not have this man reign over us. And they did. They would reject him. He would suffer on the cross. He would die. He would be buried. And he would be raised again. Those things yet had to happen. But then he said, after that, I'll return. He fulfilled all the rest of it. He's also going to fulfill the promise to return. I'll guarantee you. You know, we look around today and we see that he was not only rejected then, he's still being rejected today. No doubt about it. Do you see the plot here? Every fiction book, many plays and movies have been made over somebody coming to do good, doing good, a good person, the hero of the story, being mistreated and having to leave, and yet with a promise of coming back. General MacArthur did that in World War II, in the Philippines, remember? You know, I watched the Bee cowboy movies, you know. The horses was real. When they fought, they had a more real-looking fight. I still think they had more quality in them than some of these so-called things today. But anyway, by the way, there's an advantage of getting old. Not only can I hide my own Easter eggs, but I can watch halfway through a Western before I remember it. That's an advantage. I've seen all of John Wayne's movies as a kid, but every now and then I catch one and I say, I wonder if I've seen this. Then about halfway through it, the light goes off. Oh, I remember that. Some advantages to getting old. Anyway, the truth of the matter, all those stories had the same plot. The good guy gets mistreated. Many times he gets beat up, he gets wounded, he has to leave. But when he comes back, he wins, don't he? And Jesus is coming back. And by the way, the heroes rode white horses. That's from the book of Revelation. Jesus is coming back as a hero riding a white horse, and he's the winner. Amen. Amen. And I don't know what we kids did. We sat in a little old building right in front of this building. They've torn it down now. But we'd sit there, and when the hero come back and he began to get the enemies, we'd go, yay! One day I'm going to go, yay! Jesus is going to return in judgment as a winner. Amen? But right now we look around and we still see him being rejected today. Do you know, folks, we live in a day and time when Christians are mistreated as much as they were in the Dark Ages, as much as they were in the early days of Rome. I read a stat this week. I had to stop and ponder it a little bit. But every 5 minutes on planet Earth, a Christian is killed because he's a Christian. Every 5 minutes, one is dying because of the name of Jesus Christ. You've got that pastor, he was in Iran building an offering. He's an American. His wife's over here pleading with Congress and pleading with the White House to try to get him out of that dirty, filthy Iranian prison where they've been beating him and torturing him. He's been in there ever since, 2011, I believe. 4 or 5 years, for one reason only, he's a Christian. There are writings that have told him you can get out when you're willing to deny Christ and confess Muhammad, and he won't do it. But we can go ahead and give him all our tax money without even getting him out.
Yeah.
We can go ahead and give him the nuclear freedom to build the nuclear missiles to shoot at us, and at the same time can't even get the American out of their jail. Something is wrong and stinking in high places, I'll tell you that. But I look around and I see martyrs today, yes. Slaves today, yes. Young girls in these Muslim countries that are Christian girls are being kidnapped by the hundreds and sold into sex slavery, and it's all over the news. And yet look what a mess we're in. We don't even know the enemies from the good guys anymore over there. I get off of that except to say this. This is the glorious return of Christ, when he's going to set things like that right. And then I look at it, and a question always comes, when? Look at it in verse 36. It'll come, Jesus said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not as angels of heaven, but my Father also. But, here it is, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. Say, when is Jesus going to come? When it's like the days of Noah. That means we ought to analyze what it was in Noah's day and see what it is in our day. And that's not hard to do because you got it in the Bible. You can go back to Genesis chapter 6 and just run down the verses and then think about, is that happening today? Is that happening today? And of course, we look and we see that it is. I read right here, and here's the best way to study your Bible, down in verse 37. Says, but as the days of Noah were, you got the little word as, A-S, so, S-O, shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So here it is, as it was, here's the way you analyze it, the analogy, as it was, so will it be. So if we find out that it is happening now as it was in the days of Noah, we got a right to say, so this is it. So yes, I say, as I said to the man, we are in the days of Noah. In Genesis 6, the Bible says wickedness, verse 5, was great in the earth. Is there anybody who would deny that wickedness is great today? Greater than, I've been preaching 47 years as a pastor. 44 of them here and 3 in the country before I got here. 47 years, I have to say that fast. But the truth of the matter is, I've seen in 47 years changes that I never would have thought. Things I preached as predictions are now history, now reality, now commonplace to where we almost accept them. Stuff like that is amazing. Yes, it's like the days of Noah. Yes, it's the days of wickedness. And maybe the economy was good then. That's all that people seem to care about anymore. Where's the economy going? Flourish. What did the stock market do today? Is my credit card all right? No, it may be hacked, whether you know it or not. I think about the guy who the thief got his card. And the police said, well, after about 3 days, said, we think maybe we're going to be able to get it back for you. He said, oh, don't bother. Said, the thief's spending less than my wife was. There's no hurry. Now, it's all on cards today. It's all this and all that. But that's all people care about. They sell their soul anymore for a good economy. And that's a ridiculous place that we've moved to. In the church, we moved to the place of the Laodicean church where nothing much is important except the social life that goes on. Laodicean, last of the church age. Laodicea means the rights, the social rights, the civil rights of the people. Heard anything about that? How about all the marching that you see? Black lives matter. I want to tell you, all lives matter. Amen. I'll tell you something else. What you got going on today is, well, how about the little black boy that got lured down the alley and got killed? Does his life matter? Just as much so as a policeman that may be done wrong. truth of the matter is we're all out of balance today. We're all fouled up in our thinking about what is right and what is wrong. And the prophet Isaiah said we'd come to that where we'd call evil good and good evil. And that's where we're at. That's the days of Noah, no doubt about it. Laodicean church, hot TVs, and refrigerated churches. It's about where we're at today. Immorality in the churches just as much as anywhere else. Marriage abuse. You got preachers standing behind pulpits claiming to be preachers. You know, immoral as an alley cat. In sex perversion. Lesbians claiming to be pastors. Homosexuals claiming to be men of God. Oh, my friend, not according to the Word of God. Amen. Not even close, my friend. Marriage abuse, perversion like we never imagined. And then the days of Noah, how about gospel hardness? How long did he preach? Some folks believe he preached 120 years while the ark was being built, and nobody got saved. How many invitations did Noah give? I don't know, but nobody got saved. In fact, only 8 souls. That was his family. At least he reached his family, but only 8 souls. Somebody said today, percentage of the world that's really saved is probably only about 8%. Now, I don't know that. But we're in the days of Noah because of a gospel rejection, gospel hardness. See, the gospel Noah preached was it's going to rain. God's judgment is coming. Better repent, get it right. But they didn't want to believe that. They didn't want to accept that. And so the Bible teaches us that they mocked Noah. Can you imagine that? You know, I've been pastor a long time, and around most of you, I don't get mocked. I don't know what you do at home around the kids. I hope not. But the truth of the matter is, preachers of righteousness have always been mocked by somebody. You remember Elijah getting caught up by the whirlwind and the chariot, and then his mantle fell on Elisha. Remember that? Remember Elisha begins to take up the ministry of Elijah. Some of you are looking at me funny. It's in the Bible. It's not on the Late Show. It's in the Bible. Elisha goes out starting his ministry, and a bunch of, Bible says children. Now, I think they were older than what you and I think about children. Bible says a bunch of children, 42 of them, came out mocking Elisha the preacher. Remember the story? I'll have to tell it to you. This is on your time. It's your fault. Have to tell it to you. You know what they did? Those children came out. There's the man of God. He's walking down the road. They begin to mock him. They said, "Go up, old bald head." That's what it said. That must mean that Elisha was bald-headed, probably. "But you go up, old bald-head. You do what Elijah did. He went up. Now you go up." They were mocking Elisha. How many of you remember what? Don't answer out loud. How many of you remember what happened to him? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Come on. All right, I'm not going to call on you. Aren't you glad? What happened to him? She bears come out of the woods and attacked and killed 42 of them. She bears. Why don't you say she bears? You ladies figure that out. Worst kind of bears. Amen. Done some damage, let me tell you. We're in a mocking day today. They mocked in Noah's day. They're mocking today. I mean, it's not only Saturday Night Live, it's all the stuff on TV, it's all the cartoons and other stuff. I'm mocking. And what a surprise they're going to come. Don't you think they got a little surprise in Noah's day? Noah said, "It's going to rain. Yet 40 days it's going to rain." They said, "It's never rained before. Here I am preaching Jesus is coming." Well, he hadn't yet. I've been hearing that all my life. But when the rain started falling, somebody was shocked. When Jesus comes, somebody's going to be shocked. Just like in the days of Noah, it's going to be a big, big surprise. Many today are going to be very surprised. Those that have said, "Well, you know, I don't believe that stuff." Well, When the gas gauge hits empty on your car, just talk to it and say, I don't believe you. Just keep on going. See what happens. The fact will be the fact whether you believe it or not. If you're out of gas, you're out of gas, whether you like to hear it or not. Jesus is coming, whether you like to hear it or not. And whether you're ready or not, he's coming. He's coming. He said he would. He will. In Luke 17, adding to the days of Noah, it says, likewise, Lot. Lot was a backslidden Christian in the sense that he was saved. He vexed his soul with a filthy conversation. Vexed his righteous soul, the scripture says, with a filthy conversation of the wicked. He was in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. Materialism's what brought Lot into Sodom. The economy was better. Oh, yeah? Yeah? Materialism. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you ever got beat up on Black Friday? I caught some news where they literally was fist fighting and rolling in the floor in some of those big stores over bargains. Materialism. It's corrupted the morality of man like nothing you can imagine. I don't know what. I mean, literally, beating each other up. Black Friday. I thought, well, I better not say that. I just thought I wouldn't be there. But you say, well, Sodom got destroyed over the corruption of homosexuality. Yeah, but it really got destroyed because the Lord couldn't find 10 righteous there. Lot couldn't even win 10 souls. He couldn't even win his whole family. Even the Bible tells us that his son-in-laws mocked him. And the angels had to get a hold of him. And so when they started to pull him out, they made a statement. Hast thou any more here? He didn't have any more. See, he'd been a believer in God, the Lord God, Jehovah, but he hadn't been serving him. He'd been serving materialism, climbing the political ladder, grabbing for all the gusto, all the material stuff that he could. And it cost him not only his wife, as she looked back, because that's where her heart was in Sodom and turned to a pillar of salt, but later it cost him the sin of incest with his daughters. And that incest act, if you follow it through the Bible, plagued Israel right on through the Bible. And he's still doing so today and the enemies that are trying to destroy Israel at this very moment. Likewise, Lot. Yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, no doubt about it. Lot's shame was the angels had to pull him out. And his son-in-laws mocked him. You know, today, the rapture is different from this coming in glory. He's coming back in judgment here that we're studying. But the rapture could happen in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, the Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15. And the saved would be gone. The lost left behind. The tribulation period where the Antichrist is going to deceive the Jews. And finally, Jesus at the end of the trib is going to come back to rescue Israel and to set up his kingdom. All of that is very, very real. But right now, as we see the days of Noah being fulfilled, as we make the analogy, we recognize that the Bible was giving those people a time of grace under Noah's preaching. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The truth was, he offered that grace to everybody that would listen to him. They could have been saved, but they wouldn't listen. They rejected. Today, the grace of God is still being preached from this pulpit and churches like this everywhere. Missionaries on the field. And it's being rejected by so many. So many. The very grace of God that will save your soul, write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, being rejected like never before. You know, Noah's was a call of grace, no doubt about it. I look over in 1 Peter chapter 3, and I believe it's verse 20. when it says, when once, Peter's referring now back to Noah. He said, when once the long-suffering of God waited, watch the word, long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. Peter is he's going back now. He said, think about Noah. Think about the days back there in the long-suffering of God. Did God suffer long for 120 years? Maybe so. And Noah kept preaching. Nobody got converted. Nobody walked the aisle during invitation. Nobody, they rejected. They said, oh, you crazy preacher out here preaching, it's going to rain. Never has rained before. Peter refers to it as an example of the long suffering of God while the ark was preparing, wherein few, he said, that is eight souls, were saved. Now, truth of the matter is, the parallel that I see today in what Peter's referring to is so real, folks. It is so real. It's obvious the politicians have no answer. It's obvious the educators have no answer. There's only one answer, and that's God's answer. And it's being fulfilled every day, and yet we're using, as it were, up the grace of God in his long suffering. And the day came that the rain began to fall, and the water began to rise. And finally the skeptics began to want to repent, but wait a minute, it was too late. It was too late. You read the story close. How many of you know who closed the door to the ark? Noah didn't close it. Noah didn't close it. God closed it. Read the story close. God closed it. You know what that means? It means as they clawed on the outside and men and women with their babies saying, let us in, let us in. The water's already up to my waist. It's already up to my neck. And I can't imagine a human being, including Noah, I'd open the door and you'd open the door. But they couldn't. God shut the door. The grace was over. The long suffering was over. We kind of have a hard time believing it could ever be over, don't we? But it'll be over one day. The door of grace will be shut. And the opportunity for your loved one, your friend, your coworker to get saved will be gone. Be gone. Now, you know what that ought to do to us? It ought to encourage us. Time is short. Be more active than we've been before. Be a better witness than we've been before. Try harder than we've tried before. That's what it ought to do to us. I hope it does to you. Truthfully, today the biggest thing that keeps you and I from telling others is something that you can't really get your hand on. It's a satanic thing of being embarrassed. Or as the young girls were singing earlier, the young Roberts family was singing earlier, not ashamed of Jesus, not ashamed of his name. Question is, are we? Are we? I think you might find something today if you try it. I think you might find out more folks are thinking deeper and may actually be very appreciative if you tell them an answer, and that answer is Jesus. You may find out, if you're afraid that guy on the job is going to mock you as being a little Jesus boy, you may find out he's got a hunger in his soul that would welcome you telling him about Jesus. You may find out that your loved one that you've never talked to is still hoping you will. Folks, that's very real I'm talking to you about. You know enough Bible. I didn't do anything this morning but preach to the choir, so to speak. I covered ground you've heard me cover so many times. But wouldn't you agree with me it's the days of Noah? Wouldn't you agree with me that the analogy is complete? Nothing is lacking. It's all there. I think you would. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, you're in a good place to get saved. The door of the ark is still open. The judgment rain is not yet falling, but it's coming soon. This morning you could come trust Christ, get in the ark of safety. He is the ark. You can get inside of Him. He is the door. He's waiting for you to step into Him. Would you do it? Would you do it? Oh, my friend, if you don't walk the aisle this morning to get saved, just go on home and catch the latest news. Daily something else breaks loose. I may. Somebody asked me, and somebody says, where do you get your sermon ideas? Generally from you. If you don't like them, just go look in the mirror. From you. Somebody said, this week, how about Noah? So I preached on Noah. Somebody else said to me, how about World War III? I may preach on that tonight. Because it's all current, and it's all Bible, and it's all fulfilled, and time is short. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly. Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, the good news is that you're still saved, that the door of the ark of safety is still open, that men, women, boys, and girls can come to Christ and be saved and ready for the judgment rain to fall. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to hearts in radio land as well as here in the building this morning. Oh, God, I believe I've got clean hands that I have warned. I've read from your scripture, the very word of God I've shared. Now, Lord, I'd open the door if I could. I thank you that it's still open. But, Lord, I know when you shut it, no man can open it. And I pray for that one here today that could be hearing the call to come for the last time. I pray you'd speak to their hearts. I know you're not going to bring them down the aisle against their will, Father, but I pray that they'd be willing to come and receive Christ. And Lord, I thank you for what Jesus said. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. I thank you for that. Bless the invitation, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll receive Christ, will you meet me here? Maybe the Lord's laid on your heart to move.